Morgan Ortegas joins us, and she is been our State Department sort of foreign policy expert. Morgan, ironically, or pretty cool, spent her past weekend doing her Navy intelligence reserve duty. She's a member of the Navy, the Navy Reserve, and thank you for that. But the U.S. State Department former spokesperson under the Mike Pompeo State Department. And Morgan, thanks for your service to the country, and I wanted to kind of get an update. So thank you for that. But what struck me coming out of the weekend is I don't think Vladimir Putin, in particular, and Russia counted on countries like now Sweden wanting to join NATO. And this, if you look at his original concerns, I think it was about a land grab in the east on the Ukraine, but didn't want Ukraine, you know, make sure they'll never join NATO. And, you know, that's the fear of it goes back to the, actually, if you go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, and you look at the border of Turkey with Kennedy and Khrushchev, but Putin's fear or disdain or despising NATO. Now you have these countries do it, you know, now Finland, Sweden want to join NATO. That must be getting his attention.
It must be, especially because of the massive land border that Finland shares with Russia. Listen, I think that this is a really interesting development, but especially because these are actually, if these two countries were allowed into NATO, we wouldn't be allowing in countries that are dead weight. You know, we would be allowing in countries that are, Finland, for example, is already at the 2%, you know, paying of their GDP what they pay on defense spending. They're committing even more billions more to defense spending. They're buying American weapons. They want in the fight. And I think the problem that President Trump and Mike Pompeo and the team, the sort of, you know, conflict sometimes with the NATO was that President Trump wanted all NATO countries to pay their fair share. And let's just be honest, we had a lot of dead weight in NATO. We had people that, even though they committed to that 2% goal and target, flat out refused to get there. So I'm all for allowing in countries that are not going to be dead weight, that are going to be a part of the fight, that are going to pay their fair share. And I am, you know, heartened to see how much, as you mentioned, Russia has struggled to keep the advances. They haven't been able to get Kyiv. However, I continue to worry about the Western Europeans. I continue to be suspicious at the fact that they have not entirely cut themselves off of Russian energy. You know, there's a $40 billion bill being debated in the Senate right now. While the Europeans spend $40 billion every 5 weeks on importing Russian energy. Mm. And so while I think our effort is important, diplomatically, we have failed. The Biden administration has failed, in my opinion, two big ways diplomatically. One is allowing this to even happen in the first place. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you know, the Europeans still have a lot more to do. And I'm speaking to you, Germany and France, right? They have a lot more to do to get serious about Russia, not only from a spending perspective, right, spending to support the Ukrainians, spending on their own defense, and stopping their reliance on Russian energy, which, you know, I don't think they're serious enough about yet.
Morgan Ortegas, former State Department spokesperson. Morgan, what about China going into this? I think, and I don't think it's any accident, I don't believe coincidence, is Vladimir Putin did not invade Ukraine until after the Beijing Winter Games. I think Putin, the only real country he's probably afraid of, if there's any fear in him because of his background and just not sure if he's all there anymore, is China. And China's sort of been watching this. What about China in the equation when it comes to Ukraine and what Russia's doing? Is China doesn't like to see, one thing I've noticed, China doesn't want to see the world economy go into a real tailspin because a lot of people owe money to China. And so I think there's a point here where China doesn't like what's happening, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're loving this. I may be wrong.
No, I listen, I agree with you. You know, for about the past decade, Putin and Xi Jinping have been working on a relationship between the two leaders. There was a lot of talk late last year about the two of them being overly chummy at the Olympics. I mean, it goes beyond being chummy, right? They have been doing defense exercises together. There's obviously historically a lot of skepticism and a long history between those two countries. But the two leaders seem to be really getting along. And I think both Putin and Xi saw the opportunity to sort of kick back at the West, to say that democracy and NATO and the West and you know, all of these countries, that this is sort of a dying breed, and that these authoritarian states are the way of the future. And so Russia, quite embarrassing themselves in Ukraine militarily, has, of course, put a damper in those plans to sort of say that Russia and China are back. But listen, make no mistake about it. Xi Jinping wants Taiwan more than he wants his next breath, right? As much as I am happy to help the Europeans, this is primarily their fight in Russia and Ukraine. They should be doing more. They should be paying more. And there should not be a day that goes by diplomatically where we don't press them to shore up this fight, because there is nobody that can stand up to the Chinese Communist Party but America and her allies. You mentioned that I was at my Navy Reserve, you know, drill this weekend. And I got to tell you that that's what we are focused on, what we're shifting on. And by the way, you know, listen, I think that the world was not focusing on this the way it should until 2015, whenever Donald Trump started bringing it up and ringing the alarm bells, you know, from a trade perspective on what China was doing to the world. And now during COVID, look, you're seeing lockdowns across Shanghai and now other cities in Beijing as they try to get to zero COVID. You know, why is that? Well, because they're taking their own crappy vaccine that doesn't even, you know, help inoculate their people from the virus. And so I say all that to say that that is the threat of our lifetime, of our generation. That's what every institution in national security has to be focused on, is the threat of the Chinese Communist Party. And listen, the war games don't look great right now in Taiwan. Would we win a fight over Taiwan today? Hard to answer that.
Yeah, I don't think China's too afraid of this administration, but that's my... Morgan Ortegas, thank you very much for your service in the Navy as well. I appreciate it. We'll catch you real soon. Good morning, New Hampshire. Former State Department spokesperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great one.